No, I got one. Thank you. How are y'all? Didn't get blown away, did we?
Nope.
Is there anybody here tonight with a name that's named Edward? Because I'm fixed to make fun of you if you are. All those people that supposedly went to North Carolina for fine arts, they ran from the storm. I mean, who would run from something named Edward, you know? Maybe a Rita or a Katrina or something like that, you know. But anyway, it's good to look out and see. I have some old friends here tonight, and hopefully they'll still be friends when they leave here tonight. And it's good to have people around that you've been through some stuff with. How many of you have been through some stuff in your life? Or maybe you're going through some stuff right now. And God will give you some stuff to go through the stuff with, though, won't He? He'll stuff you with the right stuff, with the stuffing that you need. And I'm gonna start off tonight with a scripture in Ephesians 6:10. Pastor kind of touched on this the other night, and I thought I would just kind of take it and run with it a little bit. But a lot of people spend a lot of time in gymnasiums nowadays, and they go and they work out and get strong and spend a lot of time building up their bodies and being physically fit. And I think that's great if you do that. I know a lot of us don't have time to do it. I have time and I don't do it. I get out and walk down the road every once in a while, and that's about my limit of getting physically fit. But there's another kind of fitness that we want to talk about tonight, that I believe that as long as you stay around the church called Dominion, that we're going to be on the move. We're going to be doing something where we're going to be a place that's moving out, taking new territory, doing new things. Pastor was talking the other night about three outreaches on the same day, where we're going to be going to three different churches or places and helping them get their temples fixed up like they want them. And there's a lot going on, and the devil recognizes that, and the devil's going to come against us, and he's already come against us. We had a month where we spoke on healing, and he just came and afflicted so many people during that month. But, you know, God's still healing. He's in the healing business, and He's still healing people. And I just believe tonight that that He's going to open your eyes and strengthen you, or start you on the road to spiritual strength. Whatever you need, you may be spiritually strong now, but things are coming down the road that we're going to have to be stronger for than we ever were before. Because to be a Christian nowadays, you've got to be, if you're doing something for God, you've got to be bold. You've got to be courageous. You've got to be strong. If not, the winds of these times will just blow you away. They'll just blow you away. And I believe that when the dust settles and the winds die down, we ought to still be there, you know. We ought to still be there. But in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And be strong is to be empowered. Be empowered. Now, who are we empowered by? Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's our power. Chances are that as you've grown up, or even nowadays, that you probably had friends that were bold and confident people, and you liked being around them because you could draw off their boldness and you could draw off their confidence, and it gave you strength just being around them. But you know, there's a problem with that, because they're not always there, are they? They're not always there. You can't always draw strength. And, you know, people go different ways, but there's somebody that's always there. And And God wants us to feel like that just because we're around Him. You know, God doesn't just come and go. He doesn't come in here when we have praise and worship and you feel good and you feel God and you feel the Holy Spirit and you feel the anointing, because there's more times that you don't feel all that than you do. And if God was gone during those periods of time, it'd be pretty tough. It'd be tough. But He's just as much there, because He said He would never leave us and He would never forsake us, so He must be around us all the time. He's right there with us. And just as we drew boldness and confidence from those people, God wants to draw these characteristics from Him, because God is bold and God is confident. And God wants us to be bold and strong and confident. He doesn't want us to act bold and strong. I mean, we act it. He wants us to act it because we are. Because it's what's inside of us. It's what we're made up of. Joyce Meyer said one of the best things I've ever heard. She used to talk about, if you're afraid, that's fine. But do it afraid. Go ahead and do it. Don't let your fear stop you from doing what God has asked you to do or you feel you must do. Because we can't, we're not going to get very far if that's our mindset. I'm going to skip over to Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses there. And I want to read that. That's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. There's a whole lot of, about that and about boldness and strength and courage in these scriptures. And this is where Moses had died, and Moses had laid hand on Joshua, and he had prayed for him, and all of a sudden Joshua was in charge of, they say there was 3 million people making this trip across the desert into the promised land. And all of a sudden here Joshua is, and he's in charge. And have you ever been just one of the guys, and then all of a sudden you're the man, and it, decisions and all that take on a whole new meaning, don't they? There's a whole new outlook about the way you look at things. But it says in verse 1, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Pretty comforting words, wasn't it? God was encouraging Joshua, and I've got to believe that that Joshua drew strength from those words that God spoke to him. See, Moses was no longer there. Joshua could no longer go to Moses and bounce this off of him or that off of him. He had to make the decisions, and he had to be like that with God, and he had to hear God's voice. And he had to draw strength from God. But God wanted Joshua to know. He said, just as I was with Moses, I am with you. And Joshua had seen what God had done in Moses' life. What are some of the things he had seen along the way?
Parting of the Red Sea.
Parting of the Red Sea, yeah. That'll stick in your mind, won't it? Yeah. What else had he seen? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes bread and sometimes quail, preferably quail, but, you know, whatever came down. But God had seen, Joshua had seen great things happen through Moses. And it was good for him to know that God was going to strengthen him and be with him in the same capacity that he was with Moses. But tonight, you know, it's not really about Moses and Joshua. It's about us. It's about us. See, that's all good and well what happened then. You know, that I'm glad it worked out and they did a good job and we've got their stories to read and to inspire us and to draw from and the Word of God to use. But we've got to be strong just as they were strong. We've got to be strong in the Lord because we're taking on some new territory, aren't we? 30 acres. I mean, that's pretty good. You go from two motel rooms or hotel rooms, then a strip center that we rented, and then there's probably 1 to 2 acres here, and then going on to 30 acres. That's inheriting a pretty good piece of land, you know. And we've got some things to look forward to, but on the way there, we've got some Jordans to cross, don't we? We've got some Jordans to cross and probably some giants to slay along the way. Joshua had a daunting task. It was a big undertaking. He had to get all these people across the river. There probably wasn't enough. I've seen some pictures of Israel, and I hadn't seen too much wood around there, so they couldn't make boats, and they couldn't have got 3 million people across there on a boat anyway. I don't believe he really knew what God was going to do when he took this on. They knew that there was giants there. It had been reported to them. They had seen them. Joshua had seen them with his own eyes. There was fortified cities. There was many evil armies waiting. I think everybody that was there except for them was evil. You know, so you didn't have to go looking for evil people. They were just everywhere. Times have changed. A lot of things are different now. They fought physical battles back then. They had to run people off. They had to conquer cities. They had to do a lot of different things. Today it's different, but thank God one thing hasn't changed, and that's God. That's God. In Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. And isn't it so good to be able to go to someone like God that, and you know he's going to be there. You know he's the same. He's not going to wake up with a bad hair day or something. Can you imagine if God woke up with a bad hair day? How bad it would be? We'd go to him and say, I don't want to hear it today. I don't want to hear it. I didn't get much sleep last night. You know? And he never sleeps and he never slumbers. And he's always there and he's always listening. And he's always ready to help. And he's always ready to... It's like the little lady when she went to Jesus and she said, if I can only get a hold of the hem of his garment. And she reached out and she grabbed a hold of that hem of his garment with not only her hand but with her faith. And it said that she pulled on that healing anointing of Christ. She pulled it and it flowed down through his robe and into her body and instantly healed her. And I believe that God, the same way that Jesus supplied healing for that lady, he'll supply strength for us. What we need to get from the way Joshua drew from God was just as he was with them, he's with us. We've got our conquest. I believe every church that's out here that's living for God, that's into evangelization, that's on the front row, that's advancing, that's taking territory, they've got a conquest they're going through. They've got a fight on their hands. And we know that our fight is the good fight of faith. And we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that God's given us weapons. We come in here every Sunday morning and we worship God, and that is a mighty weapon that God's given us. And we can draw strength because God inhabits the praises of His names. And how many times have you ever come in here and you could almost come through the door without opening it? You were so low. But as you begin to worship and if you begin to praise, you begin to grow. It's just like you became spiritually bigger. You know, you enlarged. Your tent got bigger. Your territory got bigger. You got bigger. You got the right vision, the right look on things. You begin to see things as God sees them. And that's the way we've got to continue to operate and continue to see things as God sees them and pull on the strength of God. Because if the church ever gets to the place where we are not encountering uncharted territory or going into the land to take more land, then we've dropped the ball somewhere. We've dropped the ball. Because I believe a growing church is a church that's healed, so to speak. It's well. It's nourished. We're not looking at ourselves and what's wrong. We're looking out there and looking at what we can fix and what we can do. And there's plenty to do. When the 12 spies came back, when they first went to the promised land and they sent the spies in, 10 of them had a bad report. And the people, they took a vote, and they voted not to go into the promised land, so to speak. And they didn't go. And they lost their purpose. They lost their purpose. I believe that through this bad report, that the spiritual strength of these people, they just like, they pulled a cork, and it just ran out. And we can't let what we see or the circumstances that we face dictate what we're going to do next. You know, yeah, there are some things that we have to react to, but I believe that as long as we're a people of action, we're going to make the devil react to what we're doing instead of us react to what the devil's doing. You know, if we're speaking the Word of God, if we're building ourselves up spiritually, see, this is a temple, and you should be pouring things into this temple. This temple's got rooms in it that needs to be filled up with the things of God. See, in the sanctuary, they had the laver and the candle holder and the ark and all these things. And they had a lot of things in there. And this temple has many places in it. And we've got to keep filling it up. I don't think you can get too full of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever met anybody yet to say, I don't need no more of the Holy Ghost. I've got enough. No. It's just kind of like gas. It runs out, and you got to put some more in. God told Joshua that he said, "There's no man can stand before you all the days of your life." And he was talking about men then, because that's what they were facing. They were facing other men. They were facing foreign armies. They were facing these people in these fortified cities. And God was talking about men. But today we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for God, for the pulling down of strongholds. And that the devil is who is warring against us now. He uses people to come against us, but we've got to keep it in our minds that the devil is behind that. And that's who we're fighting. And we're to fight the good fight of faith, because as long as we keep the devil in the arena of faith, we can whip him every time. But if we get in the arena of flesh, it's over. It's over. He'll whip us. And we've all been there, and we've all been defeated before. But now hopefully our eyes are open and we know. And then we're going to fight the good fight of faith. It's God's desire to work through you and me just as He worked through Joshua, but we must be strong and of good courage. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. You know, we ought to be the most confident people in the world. We ought to be the most confident people in the world. But you know, sometimes we're not. We'll go pray and we'll say, I believe this and I believe that. And then we'll come out of there and when you listen to us, and you know, we didn't believe what we just said, what we just prayed. You know, because it says, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaketh. And what's in our heart really comes out sometimes. But, you know, we can't afford to be like that anymore. We've got to go from faith to faith to faith. You know, I've gone from faith to doubt to faith to doubt and doubt to faith too many times. I've got to go from faith to faith to faith. And you do too. And our confidence is right there with our faith. Because when we're in the will of God, see, sometimes we take what's going on in our lives and we take the will of God and we try to, well, everything's going wrong, so I must not be in God's will anymore. That's not true. That's not true. When all hell breaks loose, you may be right in the middle of God's will. You may be more in God's will than you ever were. Because God wants you to learn to go through some of these things and learn to trust Him and be confident in Him. And we have to learn to keep our head up and pour the Word of God into our hearts. David wrote so much in the Psalms about meditating on the Word of God. And I just read you some of it in Joshua, because God said, see, you can take this scripture, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and you got it up here right now. You got it. But until you get it down here, you can lose it up here real quick. The first wind that comes along can blow it out of here. But you got to get it right here. You've got to get it down here. And if you need to meditate on it, and to meditate is nothing but lay there or sit there or whatever you're doing and repeat that scripture to yourself and think about what it says and let God put it down in here and put it somewhere, and it'll be there when you need it. It'll be there because you've hidden it there. I think one reason why sometimes we don't continue to walk in the strength of God is because we don't really have a relationship with God. You know, all God is we've got this Bible, and every Sunday morning we're faithful to pull it out when the pastor starts reading from it. But, you know, it's got to become more than that. It's got to be what you feed on, what you drink from. See, Jesus said, if you just drink this water out of this well, you're going to get thirsty again. He said, but if you'll drink out of this spiritual well that I want you to drink from, you'll never be thirsty. You'll never be thirsty. This will quench your thirst. This is the right stuff. We got to know God to be able to know God, what God will do for us. When you admire somebody, you study about them, maybe in a history class, or you read up on them on the internet. You spend some time learning about them. You know, God wants us to spend some time with Him and learn about Him and learn about His attributes and what He's like. Because some of us have really got a screwed up picture of what God's really like. Because God is love. That's what God is made up of. He's made up of love. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And in Romans it says there's nothing that can get between you, that'll come between you and Him and His love, or something like that. Anyway, read it. Go to your concordance and find it. God has some very admirable traits. He really does. He really does. He's worth getting to know. He's worth you taking the time out of your schedule and getting to know Him, because you're going to need the strength that you draw from that time with Him. You're going to need that strength, because there's some tough times coming. And some of you have been through some tough times, and the times knocked you over. But we've got to get to the place where those times and those things and that stuff and that wind doesn't knock us over anymore. You get to know God through prayer. and reading the Word. You get to know God by going to Him, and not just going to Him to get something, but going to Him to learn about Him. God just loves it when we go to Him and just tell God, I just want to be with you, God. I just want to spend some time with you. And then being quiet long enough for God to begin to deal with us and begin to speak to us and tell us. It seems like I've always got to tell God something. You know, I've always got to inform God of something that He already knows about, He's well aware of, instead of just listening and learning. Joshua knew that Moses was a man of prayer, and God had revealed Himself to Moses in prayer. And I believe there's a good chance when God came and spoke those first 9 verses in Joshua, that Joshua was praying and seeking God, because he knew he was going to need the strength that God had to get these people. Because he said, you are going to cause these people to inherit this land. You've got to be strong, because you're the man I'm going to use to get these people across this river and through. You're the leader that I've handpicked. And God has handpicked you. He said He knew you before the world was even made. He knew you. He called you to a time and a place as this. He called you to this dispensation of time because He knew you were going to be there. He knew He could use you. He knew He could count on you. And it's up to us to grow up and get to that place where He can use you. In order for us, excuse me, let me back up for just a second. The depth of your revelation of who God is will be directly linked to the amount of time that you spend with Him. You're not going to get to know God just like that. It's going to require some time. It's going to require some sacrifice, discipline. All those nice words, sacrifice and discipline. Everybody loves that stuff, I know. God then gave Joshua direction as far as where His word was concerned in verses 7 and 8. It was and it still is God's will to enable His people to possess the promised land, or the land that He's promised them or laid up for them. Those places that are out there. But won't you agree that God's done His part? Has God held up His end of the bargain, don't you think? I know He has. Now it's up to us. We have to uphold our end of the deal. In order for us to be strong, we got to know what God's Word is. We got to know what it says. In the New Testament it says we got to rightly divide the Word of truth. We got to take that word out. We got to see what's going on in our life. And we got to go to God's Word. And we got to get that word out. And we got to use that word. And we got to meditate on that word. It says, God, if God is for us, who can be against us? Like I said, God's done His half. God is doing His part. It's up to us to do our part. We got to get God's Word in our heart. Like I said earlier, we got to bury it in our heart. We got to get it down there deep. You know, there's a lot of big oak trees that they're just so big around. And they look so strong, and they are strong from the ground up. But if it rains enough and the wind blows hard enough, what happens to those oak trees? They just fall right over. And they're not 5 to 6 feet deep, the roots in the ground. There's not enough root in there to hold them when the storms come, when the hurricanes come. And we can't be like that. We've got to put roots down. In Psalms it talks about the tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. That it said its fruit will bear forth fruit in its seasons. Its leaf will not wither, and it will prosper in everything that it does. I believe that's God's picture of the church. That it's planted by the living water. But you know, that water's there. That living water is the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. It's the Word. And we've got to tap into it. We've got to tap into that water. We've got to sink a well down in there, into that water, and draw from it and put roots down and get strong. So when the storm... See, we don't want to wait till the storm comes. And so many of us wait till the storm hits, till sickness hits, till financial problems hit, they want to run to the Word. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Help me, God, help me. And God said, I've been trying. But we've got to start feeding and drinking the right things. We've got to apply God's Word to our situation. I think that's where a lot of times we miss it. We know God's Word, but when things begin to happen, we just don't take it out. And when it talks about the weapons of our warfare, it talks about taking out the Word of the God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is a double-edged sword, sharper than anything. It says it's so sharp, it divides to the dividing line of the soul and the spirit. And you can't even see that. That's sharp to get there. And that's a picture of God's Word. But so many times, we just leave God's Word, that sword in the scabbard. We don't take it out. It's like a policeman and his weapon. Every once in a while, they got to use them. They know it's there and they know it's loaded, but if they don't take it out, or a soldier, to win the battle, they can't win. And we've got to take that thing out, and we've got to use it. And you'll be amazed at what happens when you begin to take it out and use it. You know, it's going to take, I'm not going to paint a pretty picture here tonight. It's going to take courage, and it's going to take strength. It's going to take men, women, youth, children, praying bold prayers, making bold declarations, taking God's Word out and using it. We were praying in here the other night and interceding about the property, and God began to speak to me back in Zechariah. There was a priest called Zerubbabel, and God spoke to him, and he told him, he said, begin to shout grace at these mountains. In other words, at the enemy. Because he says, as you begin to shout grace to these mountains, that these mountains will come as a plain before you. He had to take it out, though. He had to take that word out, though. And he had to begin to use it and beat those mountains down and become obedient to what God had told him to do. When we are strong in the Lord and the power of His might, we just flat refuse to get dismayed or discouraged. I didn't say you'd never get down. We're not supermen. But we can't stay down. We can't stay down. We got to get up. We got to get up and get back in the fight. It's like being in a heavyweight fight. I don't want to get down, knocked down as many times as Rocky got knocked down. But, you know, I like the way he got up. He always got up, and he always went on, and he always finished the fight. And Pastor has spoken so many times that we got to finish strong. Because why? Because there are people counting on us inheriting the land. There's people looking at us. There's people that are going to fight. We can sit right here until Jesus comes. But I don't think that's the will of God. It's a nice place. It turned out to be a beautiful place. I love it here, but this isn't the end. This isn't the end. That 30 acres may not be the end. It may go on after that. I don't know. But whatever God wants, whatever God's called us to, because people that are spiritually strong and stay strong and keep getting back up are people of destiny. They're people of destiny. And people of destiny have a great impact on other people. They have an impact on other people. What they do speaks to other people. What people see in them speaks to their hearts. They say, hey, I want to be like that. What's this guy got that I don't have? The greater the destiny, the greater the obstacles. But that's fine, isn't it? Is that all right?
Yes.
We must be strong to fulfill our destiny. In Colossians 1:29, Paul wrote, and he was talking about preaching the gospel and doing all the things he did. And he said, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. which mightily works within me. Paul strove, and Paul preached, and Paul was obedient, and Paul did the things that God told him to do, and God strengthened him daily. God poured his energy into him. Now, Paul just been sitting around. I don't think God would have been pouring into him. Wouldn't have been any point in it. But there's something about our God that when he looks down and to see his people about the Father's business, that God is just going to pour the energy and the strength that we need into us as we go about his business. We got to remain purposed. We've got a purpose. I was talking to Melvin about this Sunday. There was a story about Mary and Martha in the New Testament, how Jesus came into their house, and Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, and Martha was busy doing all these things. You know, we got to know when to be a Mary, and we got to know when to be a Martha. Because sometimes we need to be a Mary, and we need to go sit at his feet and get in his word and pray and get strong in the Lord. And then we got to go out and be a Martha. It takes both of them. It takes both of them. We must remain purposed, and as long as we strive to reach that purpose, God will supply the strength we need as long as we continue to do the things that we need to do and we continue to pull from that heavenly well. Because he's never going to run out of strength. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit running out of spirit. There's plenty. There's plenty. There's more to go around. I thank you tonight. I thank Pastor and all those people that ran from, is it Edward or Eduardo? Edward, I heard them both. So anyway, they'll be back with the fine arts people, and I hope they bring back a bunch of trophies and medals. They worked really hard, and I know that a lot of you in here helped get them there. It took a lot more money this year because the extra gasoline and the price of gasoline that it took to get out there. And I know that they were very thankful for what you did and the help that you gave them. So let's stand, and we'll be dismissed.